The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for still speaking your word through all of these thousands of years. Thank you for your Spirit who makes it understandable to us, who makes it alive. We ask that you'll do so in Jesus' name today, here in this place. We pray. Amen. You may be seated. Every Christmas, my sister-in-law gives me a Far Side calendar. I suppose it's a bit of a tradition. Now, you have to have a certain kind of a personality to get the Far Side stuff, right? I understand it's not for everybody, and those of us that laugh and get it are probably a little warped, right? Gary Larson, the famous cartoonist, figured out how to capture sometimes the obvious stuff that goes on in life and that most of us are oblivious to it. Things we don't see or think about. Often he uses the behavior of, well, supposedly superior humans, right? Compared to the animals. For instance, a father explains to his son that, well, a bird's song is a territorial marking common to lower animals. Now, as he states this to his son, that a bird's song is a territorial marking to lower animals, they stand in the midst of this housing project with all of these thousands and thousands of fences and yards, as far as you can see, marked off. Not everybody gets it, right? But it was Fridays that actually gave me the idea for this sermon. Two guys, lumberjacks, sitting on a log. You can tell they're lumberjacks. Their chainsaws are there. They're eating their lunch. And the one guy says, you know what I'm saying? Me, for example. I couldn't work in some stuffy little office. The outdoors just calls to me. Well, if you look at the picture, they're sitting there and they have cut down every single tree that there is. And it's like a parking lot. Sometimes we get into a rut. We just do stuff and start doing it and do the same thing, and we don't even realize what we're doing or the purpose of it. It's a common mistake in life. It's a common mistake in churches. And so when the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, He takes the first three chapters to remind them of what happened in Thessalonica. What was the event? What actually happened? And he gives them a history lesson. And I think it's a good lesson for all churches, a good lesson for us to stop and regroup and think about, why are we here? What are we doing? Because you can get really mixed up in things that don't matter if you're not careful, and really get caught up in the mundane. Now, just a little bit of background about this place in this book. Thessalonica is located in Greece, and it was the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia. Population of Thessalonica was around 100,000. They were on a natural harbor, and they were in this group of cities, this territory known as the Ignatian Way. And this particular route was a north-south trade route. A lot of commerce, a lot of goods and services moved through Thessalonica, and so you have a lot of ideas, a lot of philosophies, a lot of different people. The religion was Greco-Roman pantheons, the gods of Rome, the gods of the Greeks. They were also involved in the imperial cult, the cult of Caesar. We talked about that last week, how Caesar's image was on the denarius, and Caesar was worshipped as God. That was known as the imperial cult. And there were also Egyptian cults in Thessalonica. There were Jews living there, worshipping in their synagogues. If you want to know what happened in Thessalonica, we would go back to Acts 17. And there it tells the story of how Paul and Silas and Timothy come to this Gentile city of Thessalonica, and Paul did what he always does. He first went into the synagogue and approached the Jews. And he started to teach them from our Old Testament, from the Hebrew Scriptures. That's what they had. That's all they had then, right? Paul has the Old Testament, and he's bringing the gospel to them. He's telling them about the Messiah, and that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the promised one. Jesus is the one that died and rose again. He takes this message to them for three Sabbaths. Some Jews believe, some Greek God-fearers believe. And then Paul does, again, what he does in all these places. He takes his message to the street. He takes it out there to the Gentiles, to the marketplace, to the people who had no clue about religion or his God. Well, the Jewish leaders are jealous, and they stir up a riot. And the crowd gets anxious, and they gather, and they go to somebody's house. This guy's name is Jason, and they get a riot, and they get all these people, and they go to Jason's house. Meanwhile, Paul had slipped out in the middle of the night and goes to Berea. Paul now is away. He didn't have much time there. He's in Corinth, and he's anxious. What happened to those people? What's going to happen to them? I couldn't stick around. And he sends Timothy. And Timothy goes to Thessalonica, and he comes back with a pretty good report. I mean, they were off on a few things, but for the most part, Timothy says, hey, it's prospering. It's growing. And so now Paul sits down to write 1 Thessalonians, probably, some believe, his first, his oldest letter, the first one. And he reminds them of what happened there, their purpose, and what they're about, what we're about. He reminds them of the gospel. He uses that word. He uses it three times in our eight verses today, and he uses the word, the gospel, throughout these five chapters. He refers to God's word and the word coming over 10 times in these five chapters. It's a reminder of just what we are entrusted here with as the church. What we are entrusted with and how it works, what it's capable of, what it does, okay? What did it do in Thessalonica? Now, we read last week, first of all, let me just read to you from chapter 1. Paul said, Remembering before our God and Father, your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So the first thing he says is, he says, He has chosen you, brothers. Now, that scares people. I know that that's a whole different issue. You know, people talk about election and predestination and being chosen and not being chosen. And throughout history, there's been huge debate about that. But here's what I want you to know today, that Paul was saying, the source of this message is God. He is the source. It comes from Him. It comes from Him. Paul sitting there maybe thinking, you know what? I don't think these people have a chance. I'm not there. I mean, I don't think it was an arrogant thought. I don't think he was proud. I just think he was thinking, you know, he was anxious for them. I wish I could be there. Those Jewish leaders are going to just lead them down the wrong path and all this work, and there's no one there to nurture. There's no one there to tutor, a disciple. And I'm sure he was worried. Timothy comes back and says, no. They're prospering because it wasn't Paul's message. The source is God. How'd you get here today? Did you ever think about that? Why are you here? Just think about your life for a moment. What's happened in your life? How did you get here? I was in my late 60s. I was a 10-year-old boy living in a family that didn't go to church. And one day my uncle, my mother's oldest brother, said to my mother, you got to come to this Baptist church. You got to hear this story. You got to hear this message. Changed my life. Preacher by the name of William Clausen in McKeesport, big in that day, 60s and 70s, on a lot of radio stations, well known in the area, Dr. Clausen. My uncle Jack said to my mother, you got to come hear this. And so we did. We went there. We found Christ. It changed our life. It's why I'm here today. It changed my whole path. Why are you here? How did you get here? The source of this message is God. It comes from Him. The second thing is that it comes, Paul says, in power. It comes in power. Now, we know miracles happened in the New Testament, and miracles happen today. We don't know what happened in Thessalonica, but here's what we do know for sure. Here's how we see the power of God. Paul says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. That is the power of this message. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son. Now that's a changed life. That gets attention, right? That creates a stir in this Greek world and in this whole area. What happened in the lives of the Thessalonians? people are hearing all sorts of things. Did you hear what happened in Thessalonica? Oh, wow. All these pagan gods, all these cults, all this false worship, all this stuff going on. Sexual immorality. And these people turned. They changed. You know, people want to change today. There are all kinds of methods to change. Everybody is out somehow to change, some counseling course, some video series, some book, and I guess there's nothing wrong with a lot of it. We're all about, how can I change? Change my physical appearance, change my emotional state, change my psychological state. What can I do to change? The gospel has power. That kind of power. The third thing is that it comes in the Holy Spirit and with the joy of the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us. The word came to you with power and in the Holy Spirit. And then again he says, with joy of the Holy Spirit, you endured much conflict. And he says that twice in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. He refers to this message coming to them and the state that they were in. I don't know what it was, but it seems like it was really bad. That this word, this gospel comes to them and they are in conflict, much affliction, and it doesn't tell us that their problems vanished. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that all of a sudden everything's perfect. All of a sudden you got no problems, you got lots of money, and you got lots of friends, and you got a great job, and everybody loves you, and you know, that doesn't say anything about that. It just says that in the midst of the conflict, they had great joy. They had something that does not depend on circumstances or happenings. This joy in the Holy Spirit brought them joy even in suffering. The world today, the people out there today aren't any different. They're searching. People have problems. You know that. There's problems. There's a lot of problems out there. A lot of searching. A lot of going to the wrong places. It comes from God. It comes with the power. It comes in the Holy Spirit, and just let me quickly finish up with two more points. There's a lot more here that we could look at about this message, but it comes, Paul says, with full conviction. Now, what does that mean? That's odd. It comes with full conviction. It has the conviction of the one who proclaims it and the conviction of the hearer. Both are, it's speaking to both here. That the one who is proclaiming this message is so convinced of its power, so convinced of its life-changing effect, has no doubt that this is true, this is real. They're not trying to, Paul says, I didn't come to try and make money, I didn't try and come and deceive you, I didn't try and come to be popular. I came because of my conviction for this message that it is going to make a difference in your life. And this full conviction spills over to the hearer. And these people say, man, this guy really, it's got to be true. This guy really believes it. This guy was telling us about killing Christians and what he was doing. And he's, wow, this is true stuff. It comes with full conviction. And finally, he says in verse 8, that the word sounded forth from them. It sounded forth from you. They didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't just, you know, hunker down and, well, it's very, very private. It's very private. I don't talk about it. It's a very private thing. And no. It sounded forth. Strange word here, only time used in the New Testament, in the Bible. Whenever you find a word like that, pause, go back over that, consider that a little bit. The word sounded forth, echeo. That's where we get our word echo. So we get our word echo. And It's a loud, resounding noise. A loud, resounding noise, like ocean waves, or howling dogs, or the uproar of a crowd, the blowing of a trumpet, the rolling of thunder. It sounds forth. You know, I read where the bells were first invented, like in 400 A.D., and in 600 A.D., they started putting them in churches, right, in Europe. Church bells. Church bells are beautiful. We hardly hear them nowadays. But it was around 600 A.D. when they start putting the bells in the churches. And they ring those bells when church is starting. They ring those bells when somebody's getting married. They ring those bells when somebody dies. They ring those bells when the town's in danger. And they just blare out. John Stott said this about the Thessalonians and what they did with the Word of God and the Gospel. The good news announced by the Thessalonians was like a loud noise which seemed to reverberate through the hills and valleys of Greece. The good news announced by the Thessalonians was like a loud noise which seemed to reverberate through the hills and valleys of Murraysville, right? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.